Hello and welcome to our final Q&A session for Unlocking Ascension 2020, what I call the Grab Bag Q&A. This is for all the questions that sort of popped up along the way that might have happened after the fact, after we did the Q&A for this specific session. So let's dive right in with this assortment of questions that are going to cover pretty much all four sessions that we covered together. Christine G. asks, how does missing the first session, which was the Discover Your Soul Print session, impact my process? And that's an interesting question. Again, every session was designed to include you energetically every time, whether you consciously tuned in or tuned in live or later, it's all there for you. And you always had, through the replays, the opportunity to tune back in consciously. So if you missed the first session, meaning you weren't available to listen live and you haven't, for some reason, listened to the replay yet, you didn't miss it energetically. Your conscious awareness may be missing a few pieces that were in the teaching, but energetically, you're as caught up as you need to be. You can review it at any time, of course, so then you can say you didn't miss that first session. You just listened to it at a more convenient time for you. And that's true with any of the sessions. You just take them in when it's convenient for you, and you will catch up with your conscious mind. You are already caught up energetically, but you'll catch up with your conscious awareness, and that will be enriching for you. It doesn't impact the process, except that you may be wondering some things about your soul print. And if so, there's some questions even in this grab bag session that may help clear anything up for you. But there's meant to be zero to minimal energetic impact if you've had to, miss a session. You just catch up with the conscious mind when it's convenient and know that energetically you partook of everything. And you'll get nudged if you need to review or listen to some replay at some point, just to help you out and make things more efficient for you. Our guides love making things efficient. So if it's more efficient for you to listen in than to just kind of go from the energetic intuitive awareness, because it might be a little hazy, they'll say, go listen to the session. And you'll get that awareness and go ahead and do that. So basically, there's no impact energetically. There's simply a little conscious awareness that you'll want to follow through on, if you wish. That's a very interesting question. Thank you. Gunilla asks a couple of questions about other ways of looking at the human system and how do they relate to soul prints. First, how does our astrological chart relate to our soul print? And second, how does our blood type relate to our soul print? Interesting questions. Astrology is a different discipline. It's as if we have a different lens looking at our human beingness through the lens of how the planets and those energies affected us at the moment of our birth, and then how they continue to affect us. That the transit charts can show us how things are affecting us now or in the near future. So that's useful because, hey, we live here, we're physical, we have all these physical energetic influences of the planets and the stars, and that's just useful knowledge. It's coming from a different angle. So your soul print is a separate way of looking at how you function as a human being from this particular energetic blueprint of your soul. Astrology is not so much about the soul energy, at least not in the way that I work with it. It may be about soul, but it's more about your personality. And your personality and the way things work in your embodied being. Because that's what this physical birth is. It's your soul got poured into a physical body with these energetic influences at this particular moment in time and space. And what does that mean? And again, our personality comes from many other places besides our astrological chart. But these things can explain why we are the way we are. And of course, that's one of our enduring questions is, why am I like this? Or why do I have these feelings, these desires, these challenges? Astrology will show you from a certain angle of perception where those challenges are and how they get expressed. Your soul print chart, from a different angle and different set of lenses, shows you other ways that these challenges can show up in your life. Your astrological chart, for example, might show that your fifth house is this and it has this impact on money in your life. Whereas your soul print chart might say, you're a fairy. You will either have real good luck manifesting money or you'll have a real hard time with it until you get your energies attuned to how that works on the physical plane. So different perspective, ideally complementary perspectives, mutually enriching and enhancing perspectives. Because again, stars are both metaphysical and physical, and the soul print is metaphysical. It's explaining how our souls interface with our personalities, our minds, and our bodies. So they're going to give you different types of information, but ideally they won't be clashing. They'll be complementing. It's just enriched perspective. And which do you really prefer to work with? I appreciate astrology very much, but I get my eyes go crossed and I get really caught up in the complexity and it's like I'm bewildered. So I have people who love astrology advise me. And I check in with them on things like moon phases and my natal chart and things where I can tell there's an influence there, but this is just not something I want to specialize in. Again, if it's tedious or onerous, it's probably not your gig, but it may be useful information occasionally, and you can always access it if you wish. So if the soul print chart felt tedious, then don't go with that. Go with something that feels more useful, and you can always check in with the soul print information where it's useful. Blood type, well, I'm just going to be really honest and say our blood type is so physical and it tends to relate to other issues in our embodiment. I know that there's a book called Eat Right for Your Blood Type. And again, this is all very physical, how food and our blood type interface with our bodies for health issues and well-being. It's all very physical. So I personally don't know if there's any correlation at all between your blood type and your soul print type. No one's done any sample surveys or anything, and so that may remain an unanswered question for the time being. I personally would doubt that there's a major correlation, but if you do sense that there's a correspondence between your blood type and your soul type, well, that's just an interesting bit of awareness for you, and if it helps you, if it gives you some answers or points you to something useful for you, then that's great. You found this to be helpful. So thank you. Those were most interesting questions. Now we jump topics to Annette's question. How do you describe a timeline? And how do you change your shift timelines? Are you on one timeline at a time? So three different questions here. And a timeline is typically an energetic construct. It is a way for us to imagine or understand how we move through linear time, where there's a past and a present and a future. At the higher soul levels, they are all one thing. We get outside linear time and things are quite different. But when we popped into our bodies, we entered this realm where linear time happens. And so we create energetic tools to better understand how linear time works and how choices and outcomes are shown in past, present, and future terms as energy. So then we can direct that energy to a more favorable future outcome. We are able to look at timelines, which simply means that the line of probable events based on what you already made choices about and what we know is the past and where you're standing right now in the present. The timeline is simply a visual way to represent past, present, and future in a way that's easy to work with the energy and start shifting things if necessary. So how do you change your shift timelines? I really worked with that in a whole nother session. So there's really no brief explanation for that. There's practices and processes. And it's all about evolving your awareness. So first, be aware of your timeline. And then to be aware of what it's like right now. And to be aware of how your past choices are moving you into this particular future. And then to be aware, that's not the future I would like. I would prefer a different future, and to be aware that there's other alternate possible timelines that could then show up for you to notice and choose. And then the timeline you move away from drops away. The timeline you choose is the direction your future is now going, and it changes the energies. So it can be a sophisticated kind of understanding. It can also be very, very simple. It just depends on if your mind kind of likes working that way or not. We, and about being on one timeline at a time, well, it depends on the kind of person you are. And okay, here's where we get into some real head warping stuff. Some people have incarnated consciously in multiple alternate timelines. Now that's something I can say this, but I can't say I fully understand it. I just happen to know from spirit downloads that it's a thing. And where souls do that, they require a greater awareness of shifting their timelines and of how that affects their alternate versions of themselves. So it's simply more complexity. Some humans are only on one timeline at a time until they choose or redirect to a different one. But right now, planetarily, there are multiple potential timelines present. That's why we want to get very clear about the timeline we choose to stand on, because that will influence the greater planetary timeline. If we keep choosing benevolence and keep choosing grace, then the whole planet can angle more toward that timeline where there's more grace and more ease and more well-being. Even as crazy and mixed up as things can look here and there, we are generally on a trajectory towards greater benevolence and ease. That's the idea. That's why you might choose to work with timelines for yourself and for the greater good, is we're helping to angle Earth onto a new trajectory. And that's a lovely thought, isn't it? To think that our simple decisions about choosing a more favorable timeline for us can ripple out to influence so many more things for the better. Thank you. Wonderful question. Jennifer asks about the Akashic Redirect. For use on family members without their knowledge, would I read it silently with the intention of sending it to family members? And that brings up, you know, I had to sit and think about that for a moment, sit and be with that for a moment, because I've never offered the Akashic Redirect non-consciously to anyone. I've always done this consciously with people where they were on board and they were making that choice. And there's a bit of almost like a sort of a pause, you know, like my guides are saying, we need to stop here. You can't force this on anyone. You cannot impose an Akashic Redirect on anyone who's not at some level requesting it or consenting to it. Now, by some level, I mean, if you know them and you're metaphysically tuned in and you can tap into their soul, you can tap into their soul energy and ask at the soul level, would you like me to offer to set up this Akashic Redirect and offer it to you, and you can choose what you would like from it, and you get a yes from them, then by all means, you can read it as you wish. What they're cautioning me about is, please don't state it all as a bunch of commands. It's given as commands when you can consciously choose to activate those commands. But for someone else who isn't consciously choosing, this needs to be offered rather than commanded for them. That's a very interesting point. I honestly had no conscious awareness of that until right now as I'm downloading it, that we offer an Akashic Redirect, but we cannot impose it. So you'd use different language and you'd check in with their soul first. And if you get a sense that their soul for some reason is saying, nope, I'm not ready, or I only want this part of the redirect and not that, you will need to honor that. That's their choice, their sovereign choice about how much they're ready for, how much they choose to accept. So I would urge, you know, reasonable caution and a lot of checking in before you do this for anyone without their consent. Some things we can do without active consent because their soul's already on board with it and it's clearly and evidently and divinely authorized for their highest good. I've talked about the grace dome in recent session on space clearing. And the Grace Dome is a structure, an energetic structure that you can give to anyone without their knowledge or their, quote, consent, because it's divinely authorized as being for their highest good. And they'll make of it what they choose. So there's free will still involved there. But there are certain protocols like that that are just like generally recognized as safe and applicable and appropriate for everyone with or without conscious consent. Those, have at it. Grounding cords, have at it. You're offering them. You're not forcing anyone to ground. You're offering it. This Grace Dome, you absolutely can do it for anyone. And if you didn't attend Space Clearing 2.0, I can explain that another time, another way. But protocols like that, that are about either unconditional love or grace or energies that are our birthright and that are actually very much aligned with everything we truly deeply are, those you can do for others. Other things you're going to need to check in. If the soul says no, please don't try it. It's not going to work. It won't do any harm, but it won't do any good either. And do we really have time to do stuff that doesn't do any good? Let's let it go. You can always keep offering them grounding cords and grace and speak with them spirit to spirit, and things will start changing, and they may eventually consent to a redirect. And then have at it. Another great question from Jennifer. What percentage of humanity is meta? Well, of course, proportions may vary according to who's getting born and who's dying, right? So it'd be a rough estimate no matter what. And it's not the majority. It's still not the majority, but we have a higher proportion than ever before, simply because we need that much to turn the tide. We need a higher proportion of metahumans to really accomplish this goal of turning the tide back toward benevolence, raising consciousness, ascension, general ascension. So we've had more and more metahumans show up, but they're still not the majority. If I was going to give a very rough estimate and say, you know, check in with yourself if you're curious and see what do you get, I'd say at this point it's somewhere between 25 and 30%. Is metahuman, and the rest of them are not, but some of them are evolving and some of them are close. And remember, these realms can be kind of fluid and people can graft in energies of other realms. So we may be getting people who are at the soul level grafting in angel energies so they can align. They can be like former muggles, but with the angel energy grafted in, they can ascend easier and quicker. And they're saying, yes, I want to ascend. I'm going to need some help. Call me in some angel energy. And that may start having some effects on their personality and their choices. But generally speaking, the metahumans are not the majority. And they're never meant to be the majority because Earth is for homegrown humans. Primarily, the metahumans are visiting, sometimes long-term sojourns, but they're visiting. Earth is for homegrown humans to grow and learn and develop through duality. That's the basic premise. Duality, cause and effect, choices and outcomes. That's why Gaia likes duality. And that's why we really need to, if you want to transcend duality, please do that metaphysically. Please stop asking Gaia to be non-dual. That's not her gig. And that's not what humans come here for. So just a little side note. But yeah, we're a minority and we have unique roles, privileges, responsibilities, and challenges. But we don't supplant or replace the general homegrown humans. They may seem like muggles, but they are beautiful in their own way. And we are here to help them ascend with our unique contributions. Judy K. asks, for blended souls, how do we focus and not be scattered? That's an interesting question, and it's because you're thinking of this from the mind's perspective. As a soul, your energies are integrated. There is no scattering. They're integrated. They're harmonized. You blend those energies, which means it's the mind that can get scattered, possibly trying to pay attention to the different soul types or be aware. And If you're feeling scattered or unfocused, it's not about being a blend. It's about some kind of, there's some kind of little friction between mind and intuition there, logical mind, intuitive mind. And you may need some work. You may need to just practice some mindfulness, or you may need to practice some new meditation types. But it is absolutely okay that you have different soul energies, that you have energies from different realms. They are already blended and harmonized. That's why you could embody, is because it already got settled before you came in. Your awareness can go many different places, and this is really a matter of awareness, which is different from mental focus. Awareness can be vast and all-encompassing. Mental focus is using your logical mind to pay attention to one thing at a time. That's absolutely fine. So if you're feeling scattered somehow, that's a mental, that's an issue with the mind and how the mind is working. It's not about your soul. And practices that help you remember that you are harmonized and settled and integral already. That can be anything from meditation to movement to sacred music, whatever, reintegrates you and brings your awareness fully back into the present moment and into your embodied state. That's going to be helpful to you, is what I'm getting. So thank you. Great question. Julene says, I'm just not clear on what my dominant type is and how does this affect my life day to day? So what I'm going to take this from both angles. Not being clear what your dominant form is, maybe it's not a dominant form. Maybe you're a 50-50. Maybe you're equal parts of these different energies. And it's okay. However that is, it's okay. We don't need to have a dominant form if we're a blend. You can just enjoy the blendedness. But if you wanted to, you can, of course, choose to pay attention to one aspect of your soul print at a time, just to see, what is it like if I really let my angel self out to play today? What happens? Or I really want to get clear about my wise one self here, or my fairy, or my ET energies. What does that mean, and how do those get expressed? So that's where the rubber meets the road on the day-to-day, is when you recognize that my soul is always expressing itself through my embodied life. That's a big general principle. But when you get clear about what are your native soul print energies and how are they being expressed in a way that pleases you, that satisfies you, that seems like a full expression, then you're getting practical with it. And where you don't feel like your soul is getting expressed, where you have these areas of discontent or discomfort, that's asking you to ask more questions. What would work better for me here? What's a fuller expression of who I actually am? It's human nature to want to separate out and pick one dominant energy to say, that's me, and the rest of it's just kind of on the side. That's separating. You know, that's a separation issue, and that's been what's going on for 8 ages of Earth, and the 9th age is about integration and harmony. There are things on the physical level that we still do, sort and organize and separate out. That's totally fine. When it comes to energy, there may be, again, times where it's simply fun to separate out or become more aware of one aspect of your soul print energy. Just to see, is there a part of me I haven't expressed yet, or that I could express more effectively in my day-to-day interactions with people, then to explore that. And then to say, okay, I think I got that question answered. What about this other aspect of my soul print? Where am I really honoring that? And where is that maybe a little neglected or not getting expressed? So the value of knowing your soul print for everyday life is your life is an expression of your soul. What choices are you making every day? Simple or longer term? From the foods you eat, to the clothes you wear, to the job you choose, to the friends you make, all of these are expressions of your soul print. If it doesn't feel congruent, if you're feeling friction or dissatisfaction or constant upset because some part of your life just doesn't seem to be jiving with what inwardly or your heart knows to be the truth about yourself. That's why knowing your soul print can help you make those changes. When you look at the soul print empowering strategies and you're saying, oh, I'm not doing enough of this, or, oh, I could add this in, or, oh my gosh, I'm attracting all these ETs because I'm an angel and I love everyone, but I'd really rather attract more angels. What would I do with my energy to call more angel souls into my life? And let the ETs know that, yeah, I love you too, but I would love you at more of a distance for right now. So, you know, you can say that about any particular soul type. You know, you might need the wise ones to back off, or you might be a wise one and you want to hang out with more wise ones, and you really want those fae souls to go over there and do what they do over there because they're kind of crazy. You have full choice on that. But the idea of when you get conscious, you actually have a choice, which is what awareness of your soul print gives you, new choices about how to express the fullness of you in the basic choices you make every single day. So thank you. That is a wonderful question. Leanne, I'm going to summarize her question because the gist of it was she felt the answers might change on the soul print quiz based on her age when answering it, as a child, as a young adult, midlife, and now. Even challenges and influences seem to be coming from all the different realms, and there's even some myrrh soul being expressed in her energy. Is it possible to be more than two categories? And what I would say to everyone, absolutely, and your answers can change over time. Changing realms, like really literally changing realms, is a pretty deep process. It can be slow and gradual, or it can be a conscious decision. I had a client who changed her soul realm and therefore her soul print in a session with me. It was a supervised, guided process. She felt quite different afterwards, and it felt so much better to her. She was ready to change her energy blueprint, so to speak. And we can do that. We have the ability to do that as metahumans, and usually with some guidance. It's much more useful that way. But in terms of, can you have soul print energies from more than two realms? Absolutely. Some people are what I had called realm hoppers, where they literally like hop from realm to realm, and some stuff they keep with them and then they incorporate some more. And so they really blend lots of energies and lots of options. They just like the complexity and the sort of robust, full-featured being that they get to be here on Earth. And it's like, fun, cool, do it. And just allow that, oh, it's going to be more complex for you because you're incorporating lots of different energies and bandwidths. Just knowing that, oh, this is from this realm and this energy is more typical of this realm, and somehow I'm incorporating and blending all of that, that's just a useful awareness. That's all it's meant to be, useful awareness. And yeah, it can change. Your personality will change based on choices and outcomes. And I want to see, I believe there's a question coming right up where it's more of an issue of personality than actual soul energy. Soul energy is deeper and more stable, generally speaking. Our personality will change from a lot of other influences, but our soul is deeper, and we will find that we're doing different ways of expressing the same energy. That's kind of what I get showing up here. So you may have had different expressions of energy, and you may truly be blending multiple possibilities. Kudos to you if that's what you're doing. Just check in with yourself and just ask, am I a blend of more than two soul print realms? Am I holding a lot of different energies in a single soul, in my personal soul blueprint? And if you get a yes, then hey, enjoy that. That's kind of fun. Linda asks, I feel like I'm A, which is angel, blended with D, which is wise one. I've got issues with meditation and visualizing. How do I change that? And is anything getting through to me in these meditations? What's my next baby step? Those are great questions. Again, we tend to think that visualizing is everything. Humans are pretty visual, and we weren't always, but we became more visually dominant. And so everybody thinks like clairvoyance is the holy grail of psychic senses. You need to be able to visualize, visualize, visualize. When I first opened my senses, I had no vision whatsoever. I heard things. I could feel things. I had physical sensations, but I had no clairvoyance whatsoever. And I didn't see that as a limitation. I saw that as, well, I'm running these other senses. Let's see every, and I got so much information through feeling and hearing. I would have been overwhelmed adding visualizing. So I really try to talk about not visualizing so much as sensorizing. What is the easiest sense if you want to kind of blend the physical and spiritual awareness? What sense would you use? Some meditations for feelers, you, instead of saying see the sun or see the sand, we'd say feel the sand under your feet, feel the warmth of the sun. So you can customize meditations to be more in alignment with your strongest sense, and forget visualizing. You don't have to visualize. Sensorizing is useful because it deepens and expands the energetic possibilities, but you don't have to visualize. And you may not be a meditator. I'm not really a meditator. I don't do that. I'm more of a journeyer. So shamanic journeying did a whole lot for me. And you're sinking into an equally deep state when you journey as when you, quote, meditate. It's like vitamin C. Somehow stilling, calming our minds and focusing our energy is an essential practice for a spiritually whole, mature, and integrated person. How you get there is totally up to you. There's so many possibilities out there. There's mindfulness. There's classic meditation. There's shamanic journeying. There's movement meditation, the movement stuff where you're actually moving the energy, and that is your meditative practice. It's just a spiritual practice to help you get fully present in your own energy and then direct that energy towards some new awareness and some new possibilities. That's all this inner work is how to focus and redirect energy, whether it's for healing or guidance or connection, whatever it is. The practice of it is kind of like your dietary choice of getting vitamin C. The practice is essential. The mechanics of it are customizable. So the baby step I'd recommend is really tune into yourself and say, what would I do instead of meditating? What else is out there that can give me that sense of focused energy, coming fully aware in the present moment in my body, and then directing energy towards a specific outcome of healing, guidance, or connection with, you know, non-physical beings, an experience that you want to have that needs to take you out of, quote, ordinary reality, unquote, as the shamanic practitioners would say. So the idea is, yeah, to exit ordinary reality, enter some non-ordinary reality, get some things done or have some wonderful experiences, and then come back, taking it with you, benefiting from it, and incorporating it into your embodied life. So there's a bazillion ways to do it. And what if you said, I can let go of any need for classic meditation or visualizing. I'll follow the energy in my own unique way, and I'll get out of it everything I'm meant to in terms of changing my own energy or accomplishing the purpose that quote, meditation, unquote, was for. So that's an exciting prospect for you, Linda, and I hope you get some really interesting answers, and feel free to share them with me and anyone who gets a new answer about, oh, I don't need to visualize. What would I do instead? Oh, I'm going to feel the energy. Or I'm going to hear things, or I'm going to smell or taste things. Pick your sense that helps you just get where you need to be into that non-ordinary reality state safely and wisely, and then come back home to your physical body safely and wisely. Lots of great options for you. So Nina asks, my question is, how do we know if the experience and the meditation was real? If I hadn't covered that before, and even if I had, let's revisit it. This is just a great question because we're always wondering if things are real. And the question under the question is, how do we know what is real? If we're defining reality as what we can perceive on the physical plane, then that's an extraordinarily limited definition of reality. And if we say that if I didn't feel anything physically, nothing happened, that too is a very limiting definition. So I'd ask all of us to expand our understanding of reality and real. As my guides told me, kind of laughing one time, when I had some questions like this too, and when you are a very mentally oriented person, and our culture certainly teaches us to go live in our heads and be super mental, we get to unravel that by wondering what is real. If our mind doesn't know it's real, is it actually real? Every shaman will tell you that non-ordinary reality is every bit as real. It's just real on a different level. And my guides laughingly told me once when I asked, they said, honey, it's all real. It's just different kinds of real. That helped me a lot. The dream state is real in its own way, on its own level. It's not physical reality type of real, but it's its own kind of real. Meditative reality, other dimensions, the Akashic records, all those things are real, but they're on different levels of reality. And we've been conditioned to only acknowledge this very limited version of it. Everything's energy, and far more of it is non-physical than physical. So the question to simply ask yourself is, how can I prove it wasn't real? What makes it not real? And everything your mind would come up with as an objection, say, well, it wasn't real because it wasn't physical, or because I couldn't see anything, or I couldn't hear anything. Those are arguments based on that very limited understanding of reality. If you say, with an expanded view of reality, what's the evidence that this is real? That's a much more useful question to ask yourself. What is the evidence that this is real? And things like a change of state, I felt better, something changed in me, and I can't even pinpoint what, but I feel different. That's evidence it was real. If something changed for you, the experience was real. If you have a memory of it, it was real. So just loving the fact that, yes, we're asking these questions and we're exploring these various levels of reality together. And if it was helpful and useful to you, if it changed something for you in a way that makes your physical life more satisfying, it was real. And you can just enjoy that it was a different kind of real that helped you in the physical real. So thank you. Great question. Alexis asks, is it possible to be one realm and then change when you get older? This was a question I was thinking of earlier. I used to identify with the angelic realm. I was so generous with my time and energy, and now I'm much more selfish. I don't do that anymore. Interesting question, because we're getting into the difference between personality and behavior and soul type. As I mentioned earlier, the soul type is a much deeper level of your energetic being, and so it probably does not change. Certain behaviors can change. Certain preferences can change. And the idea is, yeah, angels are vulnerable to overgiving their time and energy. If you've corrected that to where you're more aware of your boundaries and limits, that I just love to offer, that's not selfish. That's wise. And that's for everyone's greatest good. To deplete yourself to where you burn out, that is short-circuiting your mission here. To give wisely and well and know how to replenish yourself, and to insist that there are boundaries and they must be respected so that I can be everything I said I wanted to be here, that's just wisdom. And that's love-backed wisdom. And it's good for everyone else to know what's appropriate to ask for and what's appropriate to get their needs met. People know all kinds of inappropriate ways to get their needs met. And if we keep telling them through our borders, that's not an appropriate way to get your needs met, try this instead, we're educating, we're re-educating all of humanity to behave better and get their needs met in appropriate and energy-wise ways, in ways that bring mutual respect, mutual benefit, and that increase benevolence. So you're doing people a great service by being more aware and wiser about how your time and energy gets given. So my question would be, did you just learn some new behaviors, or did you actually change realms? The angels may always be prone to overgiving, but I'm building better borders, and I do not overgive nearly as frequently. I'm catching myself. I'm changing that pattern. I'm still an angel-fairy blend, but I know better now. And that soul print challenge is being met with some soul print empowering strategies about knowing my borders and knowing when something's not my responsibility. So I didn't change my realms. I changed my strategies. And I just wonder if that might be what's going on here. And if so, go you. You've given yourself some new empowerment. All right, Annette has the final question here, that she's been working on processing, forgiving, and healing anger, betrayal, resentments, and disappointments from family members and her late husband for the past 3 years. And she says, I still have thoughts. Also, I've been very tired at moments during the day, hit as if with a wave of sleepiness the past few weeks, and quite emotional, crying easily. Is that Susan's energy working on us? So great questions, and a great thing to finish with, because it's going to take us into a little bit larger scope to conclude. So we can practice forgiveness and releasing and healing old stuck emotions about family members and prior relationships, people who've passed on. There are many approaches to doing that. And if you find that you're not that things aren't changing in your awareness as you would like, it may be time to take a different approach. Or there may be a lot of layers to those feelings. And the message I get for you is to please acknowledge the validity of all those emotions rather than repressing, suppressing, or driving them away, rejecting, ignoring, trying to make them go away. What if you just sat with them and said, every emotion I feel is absolutely legitimate here. It was my response. The energy hit me this way. That was my feeling. What do I choose to do with that feeling? Besides acknowledge and witness it. First, a lot of the most painful feelings, because they are so painful, we keep trying to like bypass them with forgiveness or healing practices. They will not be bypassed. If they keep coming back, then if they're occasional thoughts, that's not something to be overly concerned about, except to choose again to release the emotion, release the energy, and choose to be at peace. If it's recurring or frequent or it's really intense, then that energy is still not fully processed and it's asking for attention. And the first thing you can do that will ease things up is give it the attention. As just witness it to yourself. Ideally, you're able to go into that space in the center of your head, that neutral space, and from there recognize, that made me so angry. I am so angry about that still. What am I angry about? And to acknowledge, well, this violated me. This hurt me. This was so painful, and they've never taken responsibility for it. And I'm still upset. Okay. When you say, okay. Yeah, I'm still upset. The next question you can ask is, what would relieve these feelings? What would really resolve this for me? And just be aware that you might get some surprising answers to that question. But the idea is, this feeling is coming up because it wants your attention. And you can just say to this feeling in your neutral space, I see that you're here. I see you want resolution. What do I need to know or do to resolve this feeling, this emotion, regarding that person or that event? And you may need to do some really some active things or some quiet things. You may need to still talk to that person if possible. You may need to have a dialogue with them beyond the veil. You absolutely can. They're still conscious. They can still partake in working with you for healing. So, and also don't reproach yourself for having those feelings or for having these things come up. They are simply messengers that something's not resolved yet. And you're going to ask, what's mine to do to resolve this so that I am at peace? and then honor whatever shows up. If it's surprising, if it's a little annoying, especially if it's surprising, honor that. That's some deeper part of you finally getting to speak up and tell you something you didn't remember or know or acknowledge before. Follow those inner prompts if they bring no harm to anyone. You may get, I don't know, you might get some kind of inner prompt that you would choose not to follow through on. But many of those, even then, you can do a version of that. Like write something down and tear up the paper. Or write an email and then hit delete with great satisfaction. You can do a lot of versions of these things that don't bring harm, but express the emotion. Sometimes it's expressing that emotion that's the missing piece. Express it with no holds barred in some way that's not harming anyone, and you'll find that they do resolve more easily. So thank you. That is a beautiful question. The final question about being tired, having waves of sleepiness, or a lot of emotions, you know, crying or being very tender-hearted. I know that my higher self's energy does do things for the group in between the sessions. And as long as we remain connected as a group, my higher self will send what I am hearing to call pulses, grace pulses, these pulses of healing energy or remedying energy. And how they affect your system may be that stuff comes to the surface and you have a crying jag, or you feel you have these feelings, or you have these memories, or something's coming up. The pulses are meant to dislodge stuck energy in your system so you can release it and let it go and move up your ascension path with yet more ease. So these are benevolent energetic pulses. They will come to an end when we stop, when we end our conscious connection, or when the closing of the container is complete. This series was a container for energy. And as long as the container is active and open, those pulses will continue to happen. And then when the container is closed, these pulses will close down and you will just take it from there. Sometimes it's not me. I don't want to take undue credit here. Sometimes it's not me. Sometimes it's completely different energetic forces. We are being bombarded by complex masses of energies right now. So it could be something completely different was the causative factor for those swings of emotions or fatigue. There's lots of other reasons that you could have those things. It's always good in those moments to get clear. Try to get quiet, get mindful, get back in the center of your head and just ask yourself, is this something from, you know, is a person sending some pulses of energy my way? And you can get some more clarity on that. Or you can be asking, is this some kind of neutral outside force? Is this some outside force that's just hitting my energy in this certain way? You get a yes or a no. So just kind of tease out, if you want to get really clear, where is this coming from? And what are you supposed to do about it? I can tell you we're never meant to be victims of those states of being. You can always ask your guides, this is coming in too intense. I really need this to lighten up. Please help. And they will lift off some of those energies. If it's too much, they'll store them. They'll save them for later. They might even just send them back completely. Like, she doesn't need that right now. Never mind. So you always have a choice in your state and how to manage your energy. And sometimes things need to run their course, and sometimes you can take some charge of this and say, that's more than I want to deal with right now. Please, let's modify this. And after that, knowing that once you process things, you're really done. You really are done. We may get echoes when similar events kind of ping a memory, but we will not feel it with the force that it had at first. If you've really resolved the feelings, you might get these occasional twitches, so to speak, but you won't get the full force if you have resolved the energy by expressing it appropriately and releasing it with efficiency. So wishing all of you very, very well as you continue to support yourselves and get the support you need on your ongoing path of ascension. Know that you're always in charge of your energies. Know that you can be completely safe, strong, and secure inside your border with your beautifully functioning boundaries, with your buffer and bouncer zones if you have them, with the rose and the spirit-to-spirit processes, you're really well-equipped to work with other humans. Metta or muggle, you have a whole lot more to keep your energy integrity and to begin to work with energy wisely and well, and to begin to set the course for the future that you most desire as an expression of your soul in your wonderful, beautiful, sometimes strange, and even terrifying lifetime. It's all available in service of benevolence, and may benevolence and grace light and support and empower your way always. Many blessings, amazing souls.